It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation. We're in the second chapter, and we're going to take a look today at beginning to read with the 20th verse and read to the end of the chapter concerning the church of Thyatira. Been there for the last couple of times we've been together. Revelation chapter 2, begin to read with verse 20. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Revelation chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already. Hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I receive of my Father, I will give him the morning, and I will give him the morning star. And he that he hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for the opportunity to come and to be together. I just ask that you'll use this program to bring folks to the Lord Jesus, to awaken folks to the truth. We study the truth. We never, Father, demand or ask that folks come here to church. We would love for them to come and to study the Word of God with us, but that is not of necessity. What's of necessity is that salvation come into the hearts of all that are listening, to have that personal relationship, to ask the Lord Jesus into their heart to save them. So please, dear Lord, that you will touch the hearts of everyone that is listening today, that they will hear the Word of God, hear the truth, and begin to walk with you as they should. So salvation first, and then service second. And so please, dear Lord, we just ask that this take place, and it happens soon, dear Father, because we know the day, today is the day of salvation. We know that. We also know that your return is soon, so very soon. We best be ready. We best be prepared. And so please, that we are prepared and we're ready to see you and to meet you. In order to be ready, we must possess your salvation, and we must also be serving you and praising you. That way we are truly ready for your return. Now please, speak to our hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jezebel, which is called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit more fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, is verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. The Lord Jesus spoke very bold against this church of Thyatira. You see, my friend, I don't care, again, I do care where you go to church, because if you're going to some liberal church that no longer preaches the truth, maybe you go to a place where they've never taught the truth, but that's where your parents or grandparents went, so that's where you stayed. And you've acquired friendships and acquaintances there, and it's just your home church, and that's where you're going to go till the day you die. Well, if it's a good church, stands upon the Word of God, the truth, that's fine. If it isn't, you need to get out of that church. First, you need to come by faith to Jesus and be saved, and then He will lead you out of that church and into a good, soul-winning, Bible-teaching church that teaches the Word of God. And so please that you do that, because, my friend, there is but one God, there is but one church, there is but one door to heaven, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, I said there's only one church. That isn't Parkview Bible Church. That's not what I'm talking about. There's only one church, and that's the church that Jesus Christ Himself is the head of. And it is a spiritual church. And there may be some churches that have not preached the gospel for years, but you were saved some other way, and you chose to stay in that liberal dead church, and by doing that, you're still saved. You're still a part of the church. And so, is everyone that attends Parkview Bible Church saved? I sure hope so, but I sure don't know. I don't know the hearts of everybody. I can't see into the heart. That's God's job. My job is to preach the gospel and to grow those that are saved. And when I begin to have actions and results from the people that are here, they're working, they're serving, they're praising, they're desiring, their hunger for the Word of God is strong, and they desire to grow, then they have evidence. Their faith has worked, so you can see what's in their heart. Many times people live all their life and never serve and never work because they've never been taught to, and they're still saved. But when they get to heaven in the presence of the Lord, they will suffer loss, the Scripture says. Their works will be tested by fire. Whatever burns up, everything that they did for themselves. It could be that they were connected with a false religion, or maybe they were connected with a dead church and lived that way all their life. And when they did, why they died, why they have nothing to show, nothing to give to the Lord Jesus for all that He has done for us. That's going to be a sad day, and yet they're saved. They'll be in heaven. There is but one way. There's one God. There is one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no church, there is no church doctrine, there is no baptism, there is nothing that can bring you to Jesus Christ except for you yourself call upon Him for salvation. And you need to do that. So if your church teaches that it's a universal salvation, everybody's saved, that's a lie. If you are taught that by your works and your actions, then you have gained entrance into heaven, into the presence of God, that too is a lie. The only way that you can get into the presence of God, the only way you can please God, is to be covered by the precious blood of Jesus. And you need to be saved to do that. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus, and then His saving blood covers you. And when God the Father looks at you, the only thing He sees is this precious blood of His Son that was shed for you. And by you coming by faith to Him, you are under that blood. You're saved and saved eternally. This Jezebel, this woman here, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, she taught fornication, she taught adultery. These two satanic deadly evils were taught in the assembly of Thyatira. Fornication here symbolizes the professing Christians living and fellowshipping with the world. Now, that's what they're taught. Remember what we talked about some time ago when we were talking about the church at Thyatira and what Jezebel desired to do. She desired to bring together heathenism, Christianity, and Judaism. Brought those three together to make one. And people loved it. They loved it. They loved being able to be a part of this group or of that group. And so they were very comfortable, you see, because there is no one saying that there's a hell. There's no one saying there's a heaven. There's no one saying Jesus Christ is the head of all. And instead of that, why, there are many heads. And as again, we've talked about that some churches, they don't even mention the name of Jesus. Some say you pray to Mary and then Mary can talk to her son. All these are tricks of Satan himself to get us away from the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, King of kings and Lord of lords. So we need to recognize that and bring ourselves back, because this fornication here that symbolizes the professing Christian living in the world, fellowshipping with the world, this kind of action brings judgment from God. Christ Jesus is the head and the foundation of the New Testament church, none other. Other foundations can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. All worship, all prayer, all service, all gifts are to be to His name, in His name, and to His honor and glory. And they are to be given and performed out of the heart of love, not from fear or from necessity. I serve my God. I do what God calls me to do, not because I have to. Oh, I have to go to church tonight. Oh, I have to help with this at the church. You know. Oh, I'd love just as soon go do this or go shopping or do something else. But I've got to get ready for my Sunday school class, or I've got to go clean the church, or I have to do something else. And my friend, do you serve God and praise God because you love Him? And so that service becomes something of not a requirement, just something you joyfully do. But when we get in the world, and so much in the world, then we forget. We forget why we're doing this. And it becomes either out of necessity or just plain fear. Most churches today depend on fear. If you don't do this, you're not going to heaven. Now, that's a lie. That's a lie. Now, you will suffer loss because you're not going to have any of these precious gifts to lay at the feet of Jesus when you get there. It's going to be a sad time if you do not serve Him now, but you don't lose your salvation. All religions upon the earth can be categorized under two headings. One is fear, the other is love. Under fear, you can list every religion on earth except one, and that's true Christianity. Every other one deals with fear except for true Christianity. It is the only one listed under love is true Christianity. True Christianity is much more than a religion. People say, oh, they sure are religious. Christ is not second to anyone. Not second to Mary, not second to some preacher, not second to the Pope, not second to some evangelist, not second to anybody. Jesus is the head of the church. He will judge the quick and the dead. He pleased His heavenly Father through the shedding of His blood. Through His broken body, He entered boldly into the Holy of Holies. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, we are saved. Please trust in Jesus. We are saved. Through His power, we are saved. Through His power, we are kept. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stand for what He stands for. we find in the 21st verse. You see, this woman desired another way. She desired another way. God gave her room to repent, gave her space to repent of her fornication, but she repented not. She repented not. Jezebel is the Babylonian Babylon in Revelation. So you see, this is a picture here of something that was going on in this very church, and yet it comes all the way into the book of Revelation. And when we find of the beast and the Antichrist, all those, and Babylon stands for this corrupt system that desires to bring and to corrupt and to tie everything to compromise. Revelation 17:18 gives us a clear picture of the growth, the power, and the final destruction of Jezebel, who first raised her head here in Thyatira. No one gave her that position that she took in the church. She took it. She set up herself, and I'm afraid that Rome, back many, many years ago, has done the same thing. Rome has set themselves up into this type of position and place. But just because you set yourself into that position and place, it doesn't make it so. God's been very long-suffering. She won't repent. She can repent, but she has not. She has never changed. From the start, it started with a work of compromise. It started between heathenism, Christianity, and Judaism. And it all got mixed up, and in that mixture, it all seemed to be just fine. It was going to be just fine. Verse 22, "Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." And again, "Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." There are three parties that are named here in this verse and the next. Verse 23, "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. I will give unto every one of you according to your works." There are three groups listed here. Three parties that's going to be judged. Jezebel's the first. Those who commit the fornication with her is number two. And then the offspring, her children, as a result of this fornication. "I will kill with death." It's going to be a physical death and a spiritual death. "They will be tormented forever and ever in the lake of fire. They will be dying eternally and yet never die. Always dying." Can you imagine that? That's what's going to happen to those that followed after Jezebel, that followed after this compromise. They decided to work together. They decided to come and to make themselves comfortable, fit in a little bit of world here, a little bit of religion over here, and compromise it together. Set it up with the basis of fear. You either serve this way or that's it. When I was younger, I was in a church, and in that church realized that they did not preach the truth. They did not preach salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Salvation came to start with through baptism, and then through and by your obedience of serving in that given church, meant you were saved. As long as you served in that church, you hopefully, maybe get to heaven. I found out that was wrong. Not by something I had done, but by the Word of God. The Word of God clearly says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I ask about that, the comment that was given to me, the statement that was told to me, was that, you know, sometimes it's not what it says, but it's what it means. And I says, well, what does that mean? Well, you've got to be very, very educated to know that. No, you don't, my friend. The simplest person can be saved. And so you see, I found that that church wasn't preaching the truth. And so I did the right thing. I left. I left the church. In leaving the church, I got a letter of excommunication. And by receiving a letter of excommunication, then that it very clearly stated in that letter that if I do not come back and repent and return to that church, not to God, but to that church, that I was going to hell. And that's what that church teaches. Now, my dear friend, that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God tells us so clearly that you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. You had to continue to work, continue to serve, and finally, maybe, if you did everything right and you confessed your sin, you know, they used to have the Lord's Supper once a month because you always, when you had the Lord's Supper, why, you would have forgiveness of sins in this given church. And so you would come and take the Lord's Supper and you'd have your sins forgiven. Well, they undoubtedly must have gotten a lot more of a sinner because now it's weekly. And so they must have realized that either they were missing some sins by waiting so long, or they're just that much more of a sinner and they need to do it more often. My dear friend, I love the Lord's Supper. I enjoy it. But I don't take it to get my sins forgiven. He tells us, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what he did on the cross of Calvary. He took my sin away. That's what he did there. He did the same thing for you. But if you have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus, then it's of no value to you. And so you see here, we have these three groups that's going to pay the price for that. And as we find here in the end of this 23rd verse, that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now he's talking about these three groups, Jezebel, and those that committed fornication, and even the next generation. There's a problem there. And so the world will know and will learn who judges and who forgives. Now, it doesn't seem like today that they know, do they? Rome claims to be the representative of God on this earth. But there is only one representative of this earth today, and that is He, the Holy Spirit. He is here calling out people who will make up the bride, the New Testament church. He is the leader, the New Testament, the Holy Spirit. He is calling out the church. There is only one mediator, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. But before you can get to that place of knowing the Lord Jesus, to know the Father, you must know the Son as your Savior. That's the job and the work of the Holy Spirit, is to show you who you are, that you're a sinner and you're wicked and you're lost and you need a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus. And He not only shows you your sin, but He introduces you to the loving Savior, the Lord Jesus. Will you please come by faith to Him? That's what He calls you to do. No other can hold that position. And if someone claims to hold that position, then there is trouble, because doing that, realizing that you are putting someone into the position of the Lord Jesus or even of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the head. The Holy Spirit is God as well as Jesus, as well as God the Father. And if you've replaced any part of the Trinity with someone here upon earth, you've made an awful mistake, a mistake that could cost you your life. You need Jesus. You need to call upon Him, trust in Him. Please that you know the Lord Jesus. We find that as we look through these verses, He judges with perfect wisdom. He will act with perfect strength and steadfastness. He will come, back in verse 18, it says His eyes are like unto fire, the flame of fire, and His feet are like fine brass. He will judge and judge righteously. I will cast her into a bed of pain, not a bed of pleasure, a bed of flames, we could call it, unless she repents. She will leave this world with no hope because her future life will be nothing but into the lake of fire. There'll be no resurrection of life, only raised. She will be raised unto everlasting judgment, everlasting hellfire, everlasting fire. That's what she will be raised for. Anyone that follows her. Everlasting contempt, you might say. So in the destruction of the wicked, it will be an instruction for others, especially His church. We need to recognize there is only one way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to understand without question that we are convicted through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the representative of this world of this time for God is none other than the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 7 through 9, if you'd like to know that, we are convicted through the power of the Spirit. Please look that up. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we are born of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, we are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 14, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 16, we are assured by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 4, 30, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. God's representative upon this earth at this time is not a man or a woman or an organization. He is led. He is God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That is who is our representative here upon earth right now. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. In the book of Revelation, we have scripture verses towards the end of the book that tells us there are books that are opened and there is a book that's opened. The books are all your works. He is keeping track of every work that you have. He's keeping track of it. He also has another book, and that book is the book of life. If your name is not written down, you have all the record of everything with the books, every record, everything you've ever done, but in the book of life, if your name is not written there, it doesn't matter what's in the other books because you're going to hell. You're going to burn in the lake of fire. How do you get your name written in the book of life? By coming by faith to the Lord Jesus today. And you may be able to come tomorrow. I don't know. But He tells us today is the day of salvation. Why would you put something off such as this? Please, my dear friend, call upon the Lord Jesus. Ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. Don't join the church of Jezebel. My dear friend, what are you going to do? about Jesus.